Welcome to TMP 34, this time about Package Builder Continued. After the great success of the 2-3-year-old episode about package building, we thought it's a good idea to re-record with what's new in package building. And for that, we first had to buy new hardware, etc. So it took a bit longer, but now finally we are here. And we also had to build a few new features. I have the pleasure today to welcome Markus and Philippe here on board. Markus, may you introduce yourself shortly?
Yeah, I'm Markus Zahn. I'm the responsible architect for the topic of the TM load planning, what includes the package builder. And today I'm very, very keen on explaining what we've done.
And hello, I'm Felipe Hernandez. I'm also a developer in the same team as Markus. I've been around here for a little bit over 3 years, and I've been developing also parts of the package builder functionalities, also surrounding the interface to the optimizer. And I'm also keen on being part of this podcast.
So keen on then, huh? So keen. Let's get started. I think we had that episode a few years ago, and I think the first question is, why do we need another one? So what's new? And I think one thing that significantly changed is where the package builder can be consumed, so to say, or used. Is that right?
Yes, this is definitely right, but I think we will not only have one podcast because we've done so much.
Yep.
So I think the goal today is more or less to give an overview. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, basically two things have changed a lot. So the first thing that Bernd has asked for is who's actually leveraging the functionality mm-hmm. of the package builder. So, I mean, from an application point of view, so SAP Transportation Management, there's at least one new process consuming the package builder. So in the past, before TM 9.6 and the S4 1809, the package builder was only called during the freight unit building. So it actually created full or mixed pallets only for a customer order. And represented this directly in the freight unit. Working very well for some.
Sounds good. So what's wrong with that?
Huh? Yeah, working very well for TM customers not consolidating. So as soon as you tackle low volume scenarios, so low order quantity mm-hmm. Scenarios, our customers are forced to consolidate goods of multiple customers together on to a mixed pallet to simply utilize their resources better. So this is a major new consumer, so big changes for the TM process. But what I also have to mention is the package builder in the meanwhile, since the last podcast for the package building, is also consumed by the SAP Extended Warehouse Management. This is available since 9.5, and it's also available on the S4 side in 1809. Yes.
So the package builder, just to get the picture, it's sitting in, not directly in TM, but it's in a common basis, right? And it's the same package builder in EWM and TM? Or maybe can you elaborate a bit on that? So what's...
Yes, I mean, this was a major decision that we took when we started the topic. We always said package building is not a core competency of the transportation management itself, but we have foreseen that there will be other users like the extended warehouse management, but... talking about consumers of the package builder, what we also have running now is a so-called load utilization determination that can, of course, also be consumed from the sales order. Mm-hmm. So this is not available in standard. The component itself, yes, but the integration into the sales order, but the use case here would be as soon as you have entered a sales order line item that you get automatically out of this functionality information, how well is my pallet utilized, or even one level above, how well are my resources utilized. So this is basically a combination of the package builder and the load planning that is available in TM, but it's not bound down to TM business documents. So this is also one important thing. And to enable this, to go back to the decision that we took, it was implemented in the SCM basis that is below the TM and in the EWM. And on the S4 side, from an architecture point of view, it doesn't matter anyway from where we are called. So yes, it's in the reuse layer. So to leverage at as many spots as possible and to always work on the same master data and on the same constraints for the package building.
Okay, so to summarize, so the package builder is still sitting in the basis, but now it's not only consumed, it's still possible to consume it from freight unit building? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, you never know. Okay, and additionally, you can now also consume it for freight orders.
That's right.
Yeah.
For all types of capacity documents, okay, so also for container units and also for trailer units. But yes.
Right, yeah, I should have said freight documents or so. Yeah, okay. Correct. And maybe can you explain, but you already said this is relevant if the, let's say, the freight unit is not large enough for a pallet as such. Are there other scenarios that you kind of, I don't know, mix freight units between pallets, or maybe are there other reasons to do that, let's say, outside freight unit building?
Yeah, so basically it's always, I mean, if the order is too small to fill a pallet, the customer has to make the decision, and typically such orders end up in non-stackable pallets. So he has to make the decision, do I reconsolidate stuff together to fill the pallet space? And I mean, if you imagine that, for example, in Australia, you have a very, very long transportation between your factory and where you deliver to. If you then only transport very badly utilized pallets, you consume a lot of pallet spaces in the resource and you have to pay a lot of transportation costs. So especially in scenarios where you have long transportations to the customer, it is very reasonable to save as much, I would say, transportation capacity and to utilize this as good as possible, because then you can balance out the handling effort for that and the transportation costs.
Okay. So a typical setup in that new scenario would be maybe if you go through, let's say, the document chain. So you start with orders, let's say sales order, stock transfer order. Any limitations on that side?
No.
Any...
As long as freight units can be created, that can then be utilized later on.
Okay, so it's possible for, let's, side-by-side scenarios, it's possible for embedded, it's as soon as we have a tier queue or transient tier queue, then we are good to go. Okay, so we build the freight units, and then you could already decide to do some package building in here as classical. I think there's also a new mode, right? Kind of like a simulation mode for that.
As we are doing in freight unit building, when we call the package builder, we have the possibility in the freight unit building rule to have a setting called estimate, where we would not call the package builder, but we would not persist the result. So we would just get out what the probable capacity needs to be there for those freight units, and that would be, that information would be persisted, but the package items themselves would not be.
Okay. And why would I do that?
Because we want later to be able to consolidate those orders anyway. If we would create them already as pallets, then for small order quantities, we would finalize that and we have the small pallet and would have no potential for consolidation later on in the process when we plan them to a capacity document.
Okay. And by still running the package builder for those freight units in that simulation mode, I would get like estimated footprints or?
Right. So there is one of the new features that have been implemented is the possibility to define so-called footprint values or normalized quantities, where we can define via several methods what the expected footprint would be for a product if I would plan it. So it would be a fraction of such a normalized quantity. It can be, for example, a pallet. And by getting those values, we can then have them as input for VSR optimization. and therefore then select the best possible resource to plan that.
By having already more information about the likely pallet footprint of that freight.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to have, I mean, it's not a perfect estimate. You would not get a perfect result, but it will be more closer to reality and would decrease the amount of overutilized or underutilized capacity documents that you have. Okay. Because you know more or less, okay, this, for example, this product usually ends up getting into a certain amount of pallets, and it's better than nothing.
Or a fraction.
Or a fraction, yes. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, so, so the key planning decision that we still have in TM is the decision about the routing and the scheduling. Mm-hmm. So this is always leading. So which resource to pick up for a certain set of transportation demands, and the mixed package building is not integrated into that optimization engine, because this would have a massive impact on the runtime. Mm-hmm. So the mixed pallet building is a process step that is happening after the routing decision. So may it be manual or may it be using the VSR optimizer. So the main challenge in that project was to give the right information either to the planner or either to the optimizer doing the VSR, how pallets could look like after the consolidation. So because you simply don't know at that process step which freight units go together, so it doesn't make any sense to persist the pallet or package items already in the freight unit, because this stuff is not going to be transported in that combination anyway, because you are in the consolidation. And very important to mention is that, of course, we still support all of the old processes. I mean, this is now something new. So the default setting is that if you activate the package building in the freight unit building, the items get persisted. It's working like before, but you now have the option to start a real consolidation process after the routing has happened.
Because you have to know there are so many constraints. And even looking besides the fact that you could have in a consolidation orders from multiple customers, which are not considered during a freight unit building run, there are even more constraints that need to be considered, such as incompatibilities. And if you are using also the new feature of using the optimizer to build physically correct mixed pallets, then you have also all the constraints that that the optimizer can handle. And without having the whole picture, you will not have an exact picture of what the final pallets will look like at that stage.
Okay. I think we come soon also to the optimization aspects and constraints could be considered. Maybe I just wanted to come back. You mentioned that we now have the normalized quantities. I think that's anyway worth an episode in its own. But so the idea is that we have more, I mean, so far the pallet equivalence has been stored in pieces two, or quantity and additional quantity is the UI name of it. And now we introduced a new dedicated quantity for that. Is that right?
Yes, this is right. And the purpose of this additional information is that, I mean, to state it very clear, that after the VSR optimizer has picked the resource, taking the example, the truck has a capacity of 10 pallet spots, that the VSR optimizer assigns as many freight units to that freight order using this resource, that after the consolidation package building, exactly 10 pallets are the result and can be load planned. So a result of 11 would not be too good, because you have one too much and you have manual rework. And 9 would also not be very good, because you have an unutilized pallet spot and you would actually be able to put more onto the truck.
Okay.
So, and the normalized quantity is the tool to help the VSR optimizer to pick the right resources.
Okay, and that one, it's called normalized because it's kind of normalizing between different types of pallets, or is it a normal pallet, or what?
I mean, also you could, for example, define another kind of measure. Some customers like to use loading meters to define how a truck should be utilized, mm-hmm. and by implementing such units of measure, then it can be displayed like that.
Okay, so the idea is that you kind of, if you have different sizes of pallets, yep. Or so,
correct.
This is then okay.
It can also be a wholly abstract unit of measure. It does not have to correspond to a physical. Mm. It just needs to represent an accurate picture of the utilization possibilities of the truck.
Okay. Yeah, but especially for scenarios where you combine, for example, let's say a standard pallet in Europe, maybe a Euro pallet with a pallet cage, or maybe in Australia, a CHEP pallet together with a cool box, mm. that you in the planning cannot foresee the combination of those target pallet types, and that you normalize them before to again give the VSR optimizer, let's say, a normalized input that he can better foresee, does all of this stuff go together then during the consolidation package building, but also in the load planning.
Okay. I'll say that's good to know. So to summarize, so in the freight unit building step, you can go, let's say, the classic way, and already in case you have the knowledge and enough quantity, so to say, and no reason or chance to combine stuff from different freight units onto a pallet, then you could do that easily in the freight unit building already. Then otherwise you can also skip that step altogether, I assume, right? Or you could get an estimate of how likely it is that it's half a pallet or normalized pallet, so to say. Okay.
That's and Philippe can maybe add a few things about the exclusive
pallet.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's.
So Markus already mentioned some consumers of the package builder, and one of those is also the PUB, as we like to call it, is the package unit builder, which creates actually package units. We haven't talked about package units. We can now say they are pallets.
Yeah.
Well. Also, as a step to improve the accuracy of the planning results, because while we cannot say for sure how certain products might be consolidated later on, we can say for some of them that they will end up in a separate pallet, mm-hmm. and that flag or that property is the customer exclusive flag, right? Because some customers, some shippers, when we want to ship to customers, know that certain customers want their products on a separate pallet. So by knowing that, we can include a step right after freight unit creation, where we make sure that for those products or for those freight units where we know that we have customer exclusive property set, we can create the pallets for that, and they will be then considered exactly as they will end up in the truck as a already created consumption quantity.
Okay, I see. And why wouldn't I just create a pallet freight unit for that? So why would I create a separate pallet in that case for that? I rephrase my question. So as I understood mm-hmm. you, I have a freight unit, mm-hmm. and on that freight unit level, I have the separate pallet flag. And let's say in the old world, I would say, okay, let's instead of a freight unit, build a package unit. Okay, in the old world, we wouldn't have a package unit when we come to that. But let's say, get my point. So why would I?
Because mm-hmm? I mean, you can have several orders from mm-hmm. the same customers, and maybe if you would just create one for one freight unit, you would not have enough products to fill a pallet. So by doing that, we can actually consolidate from several orders products that are going to the same customers, because that's our criteria. We want to group together products that are going to the same customer.
Ah, I see. So,
and I would like to add something. Sure. I mean, this separate pallet indicator can have, from a business point of view, the background that it's really a customer requirement. Mm-hmm. So the customer wants it always, but it can, from the other perspective, also help you when delivering the stuff to the customer. So imagine a customer not having the power to say, I would like to receive all of my goods on a separate pallet, mm-hmm. but you have a customer that ordered on a specific day a lot of items.
Mm-hmm.
And in consolidation package building, all of those items would be distributed following the product grouping mm-hmm. over, let's say in an example, over 10 pallets. Mm-hmm. But the planner can manually say, mm-hmm. well, I mm-hmm. can see from a volume or weight or normalization perspective, mm-hmm. this freight unit or these freight units to this customer include so much stuff that I can save my driver the time to search for the mm. stuff, so he can manually override the setting, create the package units like Felipe has described, and improve the overall balancing. And this is one important thing that we have learned over the last months or years, that we have always been very focused on balancing between transportation and warehousing. So the warehouse builds the mixed pallets, mm-hmm. the transport tries to utilize the resources very well. But from the last customer project, we have learned that there's the third aspect of the delivery efficiency. Mm-hmm. So how, when picking all of those items, how long does it take the delivery guy to take off those things? So this is the second business background for this functionality.
And that means the separate customer flag is kind of like a default value, which I could then override. Mm-hmm. And then let's say for a group of freight units having that attributes, I could say, okay, now go, dear PU, PPP. So
sure. Of course, there's mm-hmm. also the constraint that the stop sequence or the location mm-hmm. sequence needs to be the same. Otherwise, they won't be put together.
Okay.
And lastly, I mean, at that stage, we have also left it to the customer if they have other criteria where they want to group together package units already at this stage to create more accuracy. They could enhance the displays and implement their own logic to group together.
Very important thing. I mean, in standard, we currently only support the exclusive pallet indicator on the documents. But for example, if a customer has a very specific product set where he says, I would rather combine those things. So whenever he can make the decision upfront before the VSR and he knows that those things will go together to, let's say, map them already in a real pallet, gives the VSR a better input to do the right routing decision.
Okay.
So we have foreseen that there will be future adjustments to that package unit creation. But for now, we only work on one field, but give the customer the option to do with the other groups what he likes.
Okay, so we already used now the package unit, which is a result of early package or this customer exclusive flag evaluation or even more evaluation. Maybe can we spend some words on the, let's say, semantics. So what is, it's a unit. Okay, we already had like trailer units, container units. So that sounds familiar.
I think so you would be the best person to talk about the semantic of the package unit.
Okay, you got me now. Okay, maybe I should. Okay, then. Okay, Markus, you asked for the package unit. I can explain. so the idea of the package unit is basically like the other units. Like trailer unit is a digital twin of a pallet. So that's the idea. So that is not for
of
the
one or several.
One or several, and we prefer one. Yeah. So let's say in the most cases, I think it's the equivalent of one pallet or maybe a set of pallets, let's say, traveling together end to end, similar to freight units. And the idea is, if you have scenarios where you consolidate freight units on pallets, and really this pallet has then its own kind of life cycle, so it sets its own planning, it has consolidation, deconsolidation, separate stages, and maybe come to that later if we talk about the scenarios where this TU spans multiple stages. It's an object that can span all or some stages of a freight unit. And it's really the physical or the digital twin of that physical pallet on that journey. It has some specifics. Maybe come to that in a separate episode. For example, you can assign freight units to multiple package units, at least temporarily and even longer. Yeah, you can do that now because we want we come to that later. Why is that relevant? But that is a specific thing. And we also introduced something called the substops, because we have a pallet. The stuff on a pallet definitely needs to be delivered with one stage or with one journey, so to say. So in that case, the semantic of a stage is fulfilled that I kind of delivered it in one go. I assign it to one truck. So it's not a multiple stages that would use for crosstalk, that's one stage, but with different target locations. So if I have a package unit with cargo for, let's say, 10 customers on it, then what I know from the package unit is that I have one stage where I have to go to 10 different customers. But the sequence, that's totally a VSR, a freight order domain, so to say. And that's why we introduced a new concept, substops, where you can define a list of stops without a certain sequence as a, in first place, as a target of such a package unit. For the moment, it's also restricted.
Delivery only at a time. Okay, so no pickup. Being. Okay.
We prepared it internally also for pickup, of course, but we hold our horses to focus on the, let's say, the real, that for the distribution scenario where we were sure that it's needed. But I think that we can dive into the details of those specifics, also what does it mean for delivery creation, etc. Maybe in a separate episode. Okay. So, switching tables again. Okay, that's the package unit. So as a result of freight unit building, we can either have, maybe also then package units, which are really directly built by the freight unit builder, freight units, which are like a pallet, or we could have freight units with an estimated consumption. And subsequently, we could also have already dedicated package units for that separate customer scenario as an input.
Okay. And this would then be the input for either the manual or automatic planning. So freight units and package units can both be combined in such a run. And then the result is, let's say, a freight capacity document, or a road freight order, for example. Having all of those freight units or package units or combined both assigned. So you can see in the simplest case, let's say you are in a consolidation only scenario, you only have then freight units assigned that still contain unpackaged items. And then comes the next process step where you can execute, and this can be done either automatically after the VSR using the right planning strategy or manually triggered the consolidation package building where the package builder is called and then trying to package all of those items. And then locally in the capacity document, this packaging information is persisted. And you can see how the pallets look like. You get all of the information like you would have assigned a freight unit already containing the packaging information. So there is no no change for this. And then as a final step, if you require that in your business scenario, you can execute the load planning and position the top level items, what in that example would be pallets, into the resource or into the truck in this case.
Okay, and locally stored means package items in that case. So it's not creating a package unit immediately.
Not at that stage.
Okay, so you have based on VSR or manual planning or however, you have a freight document or a trailer document even. For that, you run the load planning. So it takes all the cargo which is on that document and
package builder,
then it creates package items in the first step, and then
and important in a scenario where you already have package units assigned to the very same capacity document, the consolidation package building completely ignores those because they already represent real pallets where you have decided in your process before this is it. So there is no consolidation potential.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so maybe we can then come to the, let's say, the new tricks the package builder learned on how to build those package items.
So in the beginning, I said there are two major pieces. Now we have talked about the new processes and the new consumer. And the second key piece of the development was to make the package builder optimizer, how I would like to call it, more physical. So in the past, we have been very rule-based.
So you had a rule that 100 pieces make of this product make a full palette, that 10 pieces make a full layer. Then you had some consolidation between those layers to create mixed product palettes. Mm. And for the rest, so for all quantities in that example below the layer quantity, so maybe 8, we applied either a surface filling consolidation or simple volume sum up consolidation. Mm-hmm. And we figured out that coming closer to such low volume scenarios that we really need to know where the stuff is. And Felipe for sure can talk a little bit about the optimizer.
Right. So I had the luck to be able to spend some months inside the optimizer team as part of a fellowship and learn a little bit of the insights. For sure, it's still a very complicated matter. But for my part, when returning to our team, it was a really good knowledge to apply, also to integrate the optimizer into our process. So I followed, of course, Marcus's lead to implement the interface. And I mean, you need to, of course, consider that the optimizer in itself is an engine that works for itself alone. So it does not depend once called on reading further input from outside, but it subsists similar to the package builder on the inputs that it was given. So from that point, it was rather not so complicated to map what we had in the package builder into the input that is expected by the optimizer. Of course, we needed to provide also some constraints definitions because the optimizer needs to know some further information before it can solve such a problem. We are talking about having some physical objects which have certain properties such as dimensions and mass. And to put them into a capacity document or a container. And this is not a trivial problem to solve. And whatever further help the optimizer can get to drill or to focus down the problem is a welcome help. And from us, from the package builder perspective, we actually do provide several of those constraints to make it also easier for the optimizer to get to an acceptable result. And and one of those constraints can be, for example, how these objects need to be stacked. For example, if we pass to the to this optimizer one product A and one product B, we can also tell the optimizer, please do not stack B on top of A, but A on top of B is permissible. So the results will respect those kinds of constraints.
That leads me to a question. So if I would have that kind of like stacking constraints, it sounds like there would be a lot of them, and maybe there are a lot of similarities, right? So would I don't know if I have different kind of sodas, for example, maybe for a stacking perspective, it's all the same. Would I then have for all kind of different products the same properties? Would I then kind of maintain them independently? So product A not on product B, product A1 not on product B.
Right. So you mentioned now there's something which we have solved by defining a so-called product hierarchy, right, or reference product hierarchy, which also affects how the package builder works internally. Marcus will surely elaborate on this. But for the optimizer, it only knows what is coming in as the demand item, as they call it. And furthermore, we can define so-called groups. So we can say, for example, demand A belongs to group A. So in your case, it could be small cans belong to, or this can belongs to the group of small cans, and this other can belongs to the group of large cans, just to name a product. And the optimizer would then also consider the grouping definitions, and the stacking can also be defined on those groups. So this means that for the maintenance of the master data of the package builder, the customer would not need to define such stacking relationship on the particular products, but if they have a smart way of creating this group hierarchy, then they would need to do a lot less of okay. maintenance.
Can a product be in multiple groups, or is it it's in one group? So you have to think about a meaningful grouping right. first in terms of stacking. Okay. You may already mentioned so a stacking constraint. Are there other constraints that the optimizer would like to know right. and considers then?
Yes, the another constraint is an incompatibility constraint. Mm-hmm. So we reuse there the concept that is used also for load planning to define incompatibilities between two products, for example, or to say it better, the optimizer reuses that concept. So what we give as input information to the optimizer is that this group or this demand is incompatible with this other demand. In our mm-hmm. case, we could say that the small cans are incompatible with the large cans, mm-hmm. and so as a result, the output would not be they would not be put into the same capacity or pallet.
Mm-hmm. I have one more that is very easy to understand. Is the question: can I turn or tilt a product? So when I put it onto the pallet, so is it allowed? From a product orientation point of view, to put it onto the pallet and turn it, mm-hmm. so depending on how you package your items onto a pallet from a business perspective, it might not be allowed. The tilting, I think, is more obvious. There are obviously some products, if you tilt them, then the content of that, I mean,
tilt once only.
Yeah. So from a physical point of view, this is very mm-hmm. obvious that the optimizer needs to support this.
And for the maintenance of these rotational definitions, we also have, I think, the first maintenance view that incorporates pictures, because it's rather hard to describe how the product is rotated without resorting to images. So that's also a new one for us.
Huh?
So. That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, and one step forward here is now that after we have passed all of those informations, mm-hmm. so what means getting physical? Mm-hmm. Getting physical means that the optimizer is capable to determine for each piece of each product the exact position on the pallet, so defined by coordinates, mm-hmm. and how it is orientated. So we use this information then for a visualization mm-hmm. that the planner can immediately see how does my mixed pallet look like. Mm-hmm. But also in the outbound message, we provide this information determined by the optimizer to the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And now for the very first time, you can actually say that the package builder creates a load plan for a mixed pallet. Before, what it did was only it said those products are somehow mm-hmm. on a mixed pallet, and either you were forced to have an additional component determining mm-hmm. this, or the picker and packer would have done this in the warehouse. But now for the very first time, we have exact positions, and you can imagine that you hand this out to the picker or packer, or even go into scenarios where do kind of automated packing
with robots,
even if this is a little bit in the future, but there are already some customers trying prototypes out here. So this is really getting physical.
And including also the loading sequence, mm-hmm. which is also part of the...
Yeah, I think there's also this nice AR app. Okay, that's not delivered, so we shouldn't talk about that one. Yeah, but you see that even we have some... playground here. Okay, so maybe
regarding constraints, also some fancy ones that the optimizer is also supporting, like definition of overhang.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I have a product that would fit on the pallet if it were allowed to go a little bit over the edge of the underlying products. So we are able also to give a tolerance on that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other rules that can be defined, and the optimizer colleagues are working on providing such rules. And for our side, I mean, we have provided a definition possibility for these rules in our profile. But if a customer wants to get a little bit more down with these fancy possibilities, they can always adapt the input in a body that we provide to the optimizer.
Okay. But I think maybe that's all the optimizer specifics, yes, like even worth a separate episode. On, I think you already talked about, let's say, make it easier for the picker later. Most likely, there's also rules that make it easier for the picker somehow, etc. Maybe we can leave that for a separate episode or other sources. Okay.
Yeah, but so, one thing I wanted to add, really, because this is important, to get physical in the package builder, a lot more master data is required. And what you have asked, so do I really need to maintain this per product, is one important step forward that we have done all of those developments really under the goal of minimizing the maintenance for the master data, because we know that a lot of customers already struggle with their master data. Now we put in many new fields, we put in relations between products, and we are aware that the package builder needs to work on a minimal set of definitions required. Therefore, we have introduced those reference products. You can structure them hierarchically. There is sufficient information out there how to do this, and then you really need to maintain all of the definitions on the right level. Of course, this requires some knowledge to pick the right level, but really, we, from our understanding, we think that only things like dimension and weight that you anyway need in multiple spots in the process need to be on the product master data. And then from a package building perspective, almost anything can be handled on a higher level.
Okay. More abstract on this groups, for example, and maybe in a very in the simplest case, even that would not require it. If I can just stack everything on everything and just have weight limitation on pallets, then basically would need no master data. Sounds good.
Where possible, we also try to implement defaults. So for example, for the rotation, if nothing is defined, then we define a simple rotation for like straight and rotated that can be considered by the optimizer.
Okay. Good. I think that's enough maybe for the, let's say, for the optimization part. So as I understood, considering all that constraints, we would have then package items in the freight order, freight booking, trailer unit. Maybe that's also one process, but maybe it's something that we can just briefly mention here, is to what we call extract that packages. So if that the freight units on that, let's just take it other way around. So if it's just one stage, the freight unit goes from A to customer and another one from A to another customer, then the package units would be fine. The package items would be fine, right? So it's just in the freight order. I can send that to the warehouse.
Yeah. So if you have a local distribution tour, you're already done after the VSR has created the road freight order. You have run the consolidation package building. Then actually the planning for this is done. But as soon as you're in a scenario where you require a long haul transportation from your factory into the region, there you have the distribution hub where your delivery tour starts. So the long haul is executed with a very, very big truck to minimize the freight costs here. And then you transport this to the hub, and there you start the delivery tour with actually reloading the stuff onto multiple smaller trucks to enable that planning for the first stage for the long haul. You of course want to want your pallets to stay stable, and this is actually the process step where you then say, I have planned my delivery tour because in this process this is leading for me. Now I'm done, so I'm, as a planner, I think this delivery tour is okay. Now I want to enable the line haul planner to do his job. This is the moment when you say, I extract the package units to keep the palletization information stable. And then as a result of extract, you have then a package unit where the second stage, what would be the delivery stage, is already planned. And the first stage for the long haul is still unplanned. And the line haul planner can now, he now sees the pallet, and he actually doesn't care about pallet building any longer, but his task is to pick the right resource for the set of pallets that he receives and then assign it and load plan it, of course.
Okay. you mentioned the term consolidation package building. That is the process of calling the package building from the Freight documents, right? Ah, okay. Okay, so as a result now, if after that extraction, I would have package units with one stage kind of assigned to the delivery part, and the rest is then up to the planner. Where would the other stages come from? So what is the basis of those stages?
It's apply a default route. So if you receive the order, you know where your factory is. You know where your customer is. If it's a local distribution, there will no be intermediate stop. But if you apply a default route to the freight units, it automatically inserts that local regional hub there.
Okay. So you would have freight unit with multiple stages, and then if you extract the package unit or in the process of extracting the package unit, it would check, okay, I have this five freight units here, where what is the common path of them? And I think as soon as, well, if they deviate somewhere, it stops. But let's say as long as they have a common routing, that is the defaulting for the package unit stages then, right? Okay.
The delivery stage would be planned, and in the line haul stage would then be unplanned and would be available for the line haul planner.
Okay. If I did a mistake, can I also revert that back, or is that once the package unit is there, should be possible?
After saving, yes, we have a nice feature button called cancel and merge.
Okay, so you can.
But to be very precise, so if you assign to the delivery tour after you have done the consolidation package building and the extraction of the package unit another freight unit, you can still run the consolidation package building, but it will not add that cargo to existing pallets because the package unit represents finalized pallets. But you can still have something like an add-on process. So there are customers, they initially plan, let's say, out of 10 pallet spots, only 9, because they know 30 minutes before the truck leaves, there will be some emergency stuff, and you can still add it. And the reason why they have done the consolidation package building before is actually the warehouse communication before.
Okay, that you have that information earlier. Okay, I think from a high-level perspective, that sounds pretty reasonable. I would have maybe two or three more questions. So one thing would be, so if I would be a customer, I would definitely want to buy this. So how can I get it? What are the releases or support packages or ways of getting this fancy package building functionalities?
For the standalone TM, it's 9.6.
9.6 with a certain support package or nodes or
the highest possible, the highest, of course, possible. As we recommend.
I think there is it's a pretty agile release, so to say, right?
I mean, we recommend the customers to go to SP2 directly. Otherwise, I mean, they can implement nodes to get it up to state, but unfortunately, there are quite a lot of nodes, so.
I mean, in one way, it's unfortunate, but that is because it's features which has been added,
correct.
Right? It's not because the package builder was so buggy, added, learned new tricks in feature packs.
That's correct.
Okay.
And for S4, 1809 had some features starting, but the fully supported feature stack is available from S4 1909.
Which is coming soon.
It is coming soon. It's definitely coming soon, yeah.
Okay. If I want to learn more, or there is maybe one more question I would have, it sounds like the setup is quite, let's say, there are many aspects which can influence the package building. And how would I kind of test my master data? Would I build, like, say, example freight orders and check the results there, or is there more fancy ways of checking my setup and seeing what the package building would do? As I know you, I would expect something.
That's a good question. I can maybe answer this, even though most of the work has been done, of course, by Markus and also Matthias, who is not here. There is this excellent tool called the Package Builder Test Report. Which actually does exactly that. It from a perspective only from core package builder, mm-hmm. without considering any TM definitions. It for a set of products and a particular package building profile, it shows you what the packaging would look like for those products. Mm. And lately, it has been enhanced even more, and it has made. It has been made even more excellent by supporting also features like drilling down into the product master data or showing the reference product hierarchy. Because, I mean, we have already customers which have quite a complex hierarchy, which is very difficult to not only to maintain, but also just to visualize. And this tool does a very good job at that. It also has already very good feedback. And of course, the mass maintenance is also an aspect. So, for example, it makes it possible to for a set of products to maintain the reference product once.
You can not only kind of check the results, but it's like check and correct in the same place. So kind of a mixed report.
Okay, cool. Right. It's a mixed report. It is, it was done initially as a test report, but due to also customer feedback, it has been augmented in some ways.
But I mean, basically, the idea here is that. On the application side, consuming the package builder, a lot of complexity is happening. In the package builder, a lot of complexity is happening. Mm. So the first thing, if something goes wrong, is always to figure out where does it go wrong. So if you add the items that are in the application business document into the test report and it comes out correctly and the palette looks like you would have expected it, you can be almost 100% sure that the package builder is not the root cause. So it might be the item update or something on the application side. So, and it will help up, help definitely to speed up the processing of incidents, but also to get a better understanding of where the complexity comes from. So especially when you set up such a scenario, you should always start very easy. So very often I receive emails, I have this product set, 10 products, different quantities. And then my goal is always to reduce the number of products and the quantities that are required to actually reproduce the error. And very often you can already reproduce some of the errors using simply one product. Mm-hmm. So this is always also when you as a consultant build up a scenario that you want to show for a demo, always start easy. And then you immediately know the process step or the when you add complexity, when does it go wrong? So you still have a stable core, then I add maybe a third product, something doesn't work, then you immediately know with two products it did work. So it will always help to get a better understanding to where to look at. So some master data is corrupt, some setting is missing, so why does it not consolidate? So the test report is basically the tool to bring everything from a core package builder together to have one spot to look at. So you can run the package builder, you can go into the master data, you get information about the package type assignment, because we are aware that the definitions are complex and we want to make it as easy as possible.
And initially you created it for internal purposes?
Yeah, correct.
And in time it was then...
I was so annoyed to go into the business documents and debug down, so I said I need a test report.
Thank you. Okay. Good. So it's available with 9.6 and as high in terms of support package as possible. It will become available with 19.09. I think most likely SP0 already has most of it included. Maybe things may add, maybe added with feature packs later as well. Okay, so maybe one last question. If I want to learn more about it, of course, there's the online documentation. But as you are Markus, I think there is also other sources of information where you. So where would I look for more details?
So in the SAP community, which is also accessible from the LinkedIn transportation management group that I can only recommend to regularly check, there's a series of blog posts explaining all of the details. So it also starts like this podcast with an overview of what we have done, and then it drills down into the details. One thing I also want to add, because we have now focused a lot on the transportation management aspect, all of the new functionality functionality of the package builder optimizer is of course in the S4 then also available for the other consumers. Mm-hmm. So it's not tied to the transportation management. It of course depends on the using application, what it does with the additional information and the additional functionality. For the AnyDB standalone version, there is no new extended warehouse management release available. So on this side, it's not possible to already leverage the functionality. But in the S4, again, we try to keep the package builder as consistent and as reusable as possible.
So that one that we let's say directionally, we can also see that we kind of integrate it with a freight unit into, let's say, already sales order capturing or something. Okay, that's an outlook, but I think that shows the direction and also the power of us going into the suite back home. Yeah. Okay. That's it. There is one last housekeeping term I want to say. So there was one of our listeners donated Auphonic processing time quite a lot. So we have to record quite some recordings. Want to say thank you for that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's 50 hours of processing time. So we have to keep up with that. Thanks a lot. Enough. So for the coming episodes. And now we also have to thank our management here. So we have new setup, new hardware. So it should sound better. Content is still the same.
even better. Just,
even bit more new content. Better voices. Yeah. So now we have a more setup. And I hope that we now can kind of revitalize our podcast so that we more frequently record new sessions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next sessions.
Sounds great.
So I think we can deep dive into optimizer things, also the load consumption quantity, package unit specific. So a lot more to come. We can't even develop anymore, just record about.
Yeah, we have to get back now.
Okay. So thanks a lot. And
thank you, Bernd.
Yeah, and everybody on the phones here on the receiving devices, enjoy package building. Look into it. It's a great tool. We developed it also together with a customer with very special requirements and very deep analysis of our results. So it should add value to a lot of other customers as well. So now it's your turn running it. Bye.